WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Spock with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code RockinSocket49Chunk when you buy Chapter 5 Battle Pass skins. Hashtag at my partner. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Why is tomorrow Monday?
Because today is WTR Sunday night. That's why.
Yeah. Well, at least there's good wrestling on tonight.
There's been some good... I haven't seen anything about the AEW show, so you'll have to tell us all about it at some point. We also have one case...
Well, I was talking about Great American Bash as well, so...
That too. One, Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah. I watched one of the many things that happened this weekend.
I watched one and a half. So, I watched part of Slammiversary.
Oh, nice.
So, I forgot that was on this weekend.
That was on a 4 o'clock.
I mean,
tonight.
I don't blame you. There's so much going on.
There's so much going on today. There's three events today, two against each other. That's kind of a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot. Why they decided to load up a random weekend in June of all things, don't know, but here we are.
Probably because it's a dead weekend and there's a whole bunch of other stuff happening the other weekends.
Yeah, part of it is I think one of the companies decided to hold something this weekend, and the other company was like, well, let's see what we can do. Hence, Great American Bash at the same time.
Those reasons. But we're not here to talk about the Bash. We're not here to talk about the Slammiversary. We're not here to talk about the Door. We're here to talk about Night of Champions, which took place yesterday afternoon on the ESPN. The Door. It's just the Door. And on Netflix everywhere else. So, what was your overall impression of the showcase?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't over the moon loving it, but I also didn't hate it at the same time. It was kind of like it was a enjoyable show. There were some fun moments, some feel-good moments, some predictable moments, some Danhausen moments.
Where Danhausen
I mean, goes. I don't know. I thought it was like well balanced and well put together.
What about you, Brent? Overall thought?
I would use the word entertaining for it. I think there were some elements that were people would describe as surprising. Well, most people would call surprising. Called it. but I mean, some of it you knew going in that they probably were going to do certain things. Does that make it bad? No, because the way that you got there was interesting. But being on the road to one of your big shows of the year, you start to see where the roadmap is, and you can see where certain people slot in and fit. And like I said, you get certain results. It's not bad. It's just you have to hit these mileposts to get to the final destination, and that's totally fine. I think the way you got there was entertaining. At least from my perspective. And yeah, there's one really big thing that happened that makes it so that sometimes you need to watch some of these not bigger PLEs to catch these moments.
And what he's talking about is Charlotte Flair interfering in the Jade Cardgill and Tiffany Stratton U.S. Championship match. You always have to keep an eye on the queen when
Absolutely.
She's looking for
revenge. Buying a personal ticket to fly all the way to Saudi Arabia just to screw over Jade Cargill.
Look, I love the story that we've seen over the past 2 years of the fact of, like, there is someone who is so determined to get revenge that they will fly around the world just to screw them. We saw it with, like, Logan Paul when he screwed AJ. We saw it this time with Charlotte. Am I a big fan of Charlotte interfering? No, but also I know where you're going with that. I have less of a problem with, like, Chelsea Green getting involved just because it's Chelsea Green. It's entertaining.
Well, and she's been sort of, like, ingrained in that storyline, right?
Yeah, she's been Tiffany's, not reluctant, but, like she's been the friend that Tiffany has needed in these moments when fighting the baddies.
Yeah.
And it's a fun kind of foil for the baddies because they're going to come out and be who they are, and then you've got this kind of wackadoo who's out there that's stopping you, and you just look at her like, what the hell are you doing? But somehow she's successful. That's the biggest thing of all, is that it works with her.
Yeah. Well, I think it helps that she, like,
the law ad just followed.
Thank you for the follow.
She, like, really understands the assignment and, like, dives in head first and, like, commits to it 1,000%.
Oh, absolutely. We saw that on, is it Unreal, the WWE series?
Yeah.
Where she, when they interview her, she absolutely knows her role. She's like, I know what I am. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to, and I'm going to do it to 110, which is fantastic because if you're part of the writing group, you know you can put her in anything and it's going to be like, she's going to turn this into gold. So yeah. Let's run with it. But with this, it's great because even though she's not the spotlight, you know, she's not involved as one of the two major competitors in the match. And yet here we are spending time talking about her and what her role was in the match. That says something as opposed to just, you know, yeah, there was Tiffany and Jade in the ring. They put together a good match. We've seen them fight before. And yet here we are. We're spending time talking about Chelsea because she did her role so well.
Yes.
I mean, overall, the match was good. There was, I mean, nothing like super stood out. We got the expected interference. We got, you know, like we said, Chelsea Green stuff was really good. Her coming out to help because we knew that, you know, Jade's baddies were going to be there to get involved. Charlotte was a little bit surprising, but it clearly kind of dictates kind of what might be next for Jade going forward, which is kind of nice that they're kind of, you know, steering away from Stratton and all that other stuff. So that kind of goes to show that Tiffany's going to move on to something else now that she's retained her title.
Indeed.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, all in all, it was good. It progressed things. It moved things in a different direction.
And we're going to get a big money match at SummerSlam that doesn't, as of now, involve a championship.
That's what I was going to say. We talked about this last week of if you're going to put Jade and Charlotte on there, those are two big women, big names that don't need anything to go with it. You just want to see the match itself.
Yeah.
And so when we had Tiffany with the belt, Tiffany holding the belt is fine because it plays also into who she is. Her holding a bit of bling fits her character. And besides, eventually we'll get probably Tiffany and Chelsea, which I have no problem with.
Maybe, yeah.
But we get Charlotte and Jade in the end And I'm totally fine with that, and I'm especially fine with the fact that it doesn't need the U.S. title to make it a big match. It's just Charlotte Jade, and everyone's going to go, okay, you have my attention.
The other U.S. championship match was Trick Williams and Ricky Saints. I mean, it was a solid match.
Yep.
It was solid, and I think you brought up the point well last week and on the rack where this is a match that you wanted to see just because you wanted to get these two people on a show like this. Trick Williams is one of the people you're really trying to build up. You put the U.S. title on him. You've had him featured with Little Yachty, and the crowd has a response for him. You pair him up with Ricky Saints, who you just brought up, and this is Saints' first real big test on a big stage. No fault of, like, you know, yes, he had a decent run with AEW. He was put in some good spots. But when it comes to the WWE, he's been up on the main roster, but he hasn't been featured on a PLE until this. And so this is kind of your big, like, let's see what you got, kid. And he put together a good effort.
He did. And the pairing of Little Yachty and Trick really works.
Mm-hmm. I did like the Eddie Guerrero moment.
That was good. Even though we've seen it 1,000 times, it was good.
We have seen it 1,000 times, but it's one of those things of, I like to see when you have someone at ringside and it's just like, how do I negate them? And so Ricky, being kind of the, for lack of a better term, cunning heel, was like, okay, you've got this studded kendo stick. Let's put it to use. Smack it randomly against the thing, fall down, get him taken out of the picture. So it's just you and Trick, and you don't have to worry about that extra person at ringside. It's a good move to see someone employ when they're outnumbered.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it, like, it gets away from that trope that everybody gets frustrated with in wrestling, where, like, we all see it coming, but for some reason, they don't.
It plays into the referee, you know, being kind of oblivious and like, well, I heard it and I see him down, so this must have happened. But yeah, but you still got the Little Yachty moment at the very, very end, with him pulling out kind of the people's elbow.
The yacht drop or something? I think that's what they settled on.
I feel like he needs to come up with some random finisher and just call it the yacht rock. Just
nice.
Like, if you're going to do it, just go all in.
But yeah, Trick retained, so we'll see where he goes. And Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, the story's over, yeah?
Please.
I mean, they did say that he's putting the vision in his rear view, so hopefully.
He said that a month ago too.
But like, I mean, after a cage match, what can you do? What more is there? How do you escalate it if this isn't the end?
A singles match. Like, no. They've done that before though.
I know. But we talked about it as well going into the, you know, SummerSlam in the full summer season. You really need to do something else with Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins. You need to move them. Either Seth goes after Roman, mm-hmm. or you put him in some other kind of big story, but you've legitimately run the course with Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker. There's nothing more to tell there right now, especially with Seth getting the victory here. It puts the bow on it, because yeah. The other aspect of it is, Braun right now can't ask for the rematch.
No, this was it.
He lost, but he also, if you watch that match at the very end, he essentially was broken. He got to the point where Seth was going to give him the stomp. He begged him off, gave him the break symbol, but like was already falling over, and then Seth put him out of his misery with the avalanche stomp. That's definitive. That's it. It's over. It's done. But it was nice to see Seth, you know, think it was War Games at the start of the match, before he enters the ring, starts putting all the plunder into the ring.
I mean, you got it but at that point.
I know. It's, you know my qualm. Like, the cage match should be enough, but instead it's like, we get the cage match and everything else, and it's of course like, but I will say, we haven't gotten to it yet. I am very happy that when they have a cage match in the WWE, they stay in the cage.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, we have this match that is meant to confine two people, and so they can focus on beating the hell out of each other, And what do? They open the door and go around all around the arena and beat the shit out of each other. What was the point of the cage at that point?
Yeah. All right. So I want to know where this narrative came from that LeMans brought up. Why does everyone think Brock is going to beat Sammy? Because one person on the internet said it?
Well, also...
Why?
Here's my question. What earns Brock the right to challenge Sammy for a title right now?
Nothing.
What has Brock done in the recent history that says, hey, he can walk in Monday night or Friday night, technically, and go, I'm getting that belt? If I'm Sami Zayn, I look at him and go, piss off.
It makes no sense.
If anything, Cody, Gunther each have a right to claim it. Because Cody can claim he gets a rematch because he lost the belt. Gunther can say he never got a fair shake individually at the title, that he's been screwed twice. So either of those two have their right more than Brock Lesnar. And I understand the idea would be, oh, well, Brock gets the belt, then him and Oba can fight for the title. Again, if you're going to do Brock and Roman, or if you're going to do, I'm sorry, Brock and Oba, they don't need a title involved with them. They can just beat the shit out of each other again.
I'm just saying, if they're going to have Seth face Roman, these are the only two options I see.
No, we talked about something last week. We could get double duty Oba, which would be a good story if he want. And also, we've had this idea the entire time that Brock is retiring in Minneapolis. Do we have any confirmation of that?
No.
It's just the fact that SummerSlam's in Minneapolis, and we all go, this would be a great send-off for him. But that may not have even been in the plans. It could literally be, you know, no, Brock's still around for another 6-8 months.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then maybe the plan all along has been Oba, you know, fighting and winning a title at SummerSlam. We don't know who he's going to be against because there's still a big PLE in between SummerSlam and where we're at now.
No, there isn't.
Money in the Bank.
No, there what? Isn't. No.
Oh, Money in the Bank got moved, didn't it? Huh.
Money in the Bank is so October. We have what? It is Sunday night's main. It's Sunday night's main event. It's a Saturday night's main event in New York.
Okay, so Sammy could still drop a belt at some point, or you could have. I mean, I hate to say this. I love Sammy. I really do. But if we wanted to, if you're Oba Femi, the smart move would be you look at two champions. You see Roman Reigns has held the belt for 4 years, all of that stuff. Then there's Sami Zayn. And you look at Oba Femi and you look at Sami Zayn and you go, oh dear God, Oba's going to kill him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you want to, you could have no way Oba takes the easy route. Why? Why would that? I mean, also, Sami Zayn has been in the industry for 20 plus years. It's not necessarily an easy route, but it could be, I see that title better. Now, we could all be wrong. It could be Oba versus Roman, that they put that out there for SummerSlam. And if they do, that is a huge fucking match that they set up at WrestleMania. And also, we don't know what's going to happen with the Bloodline moving forward in terms of Jay didn't do his job. Remember, there's the other end of the head of the table that Roman talked about, and he was setting it up for Jay to take that spot. Not happening anymore. He lost. So does this precipitate the story more to being Oba tries to take down the Bloodline via their leader?
That's a lot of there are a lot of questions that are coming up. So since we've brought it up, Seth beat Bront Breakker. Oba Femi yes. won King of the Ring. I think that went as exactly as we all thought it would.
Yeah, but they put it together. They put it together well. Like you had kind of like Jay instead of going full on against him, you know, he was kind of like, they made him kind of look smart as almost kind of like a bullfighter using his momentum against him, kind of egging him on and then like moving and then throwing in some strikes. It just, at the end of the day, that can only get you so far.
Well, the announcers brought up the good point of what it looked like Jay was doing was keeping out of arm's length of Oba Femi because he's learned. If you get in close to Oba Femi, Oba break you. And we saw in this match, when Oba got his hands on Jey Uso, Oba break him.
He did.
But if Jey could employ the kicks, if he could hit the splashes, if he could do, you know, move around and hit the moments when he could, it gave him a chance. The only problem is,
Jay hits him with the splash that helps set him up for a bunch of things. And Oba's response is, I'm going to guzzle you and then immediately drop you with a choke slam.
There was a headline on Twitter. It's like, oh, he got, this was match was more competitive or something like that than the Brock match. It's like, yeah, because Brock is physical. Jay is speed. Speed will always counter physical a lot of the time. And it'll be a longer, more competitive match because of the speed factor.
Yeah, if you have two big, beefy men slapping meat, sorry, TM. KG, I know that's your line.
No, that's all good.
If you have that, it's going to be a slugfest. They're going to get in tight with each other. And yeah, it's just going to be you trade blow for blow, and you try and outpower the guy. And sometimes, like the match at WrestleMania, if you can hit the power, you know, a big power move early, you take out a big man very quick. With Jay, it was very much a stick and move to prolong what was going on. Now,
yeah.
Ultimately, the decision was the same. It just gets you a little further down the road before the bus hits you.
Yeah. But they worked the story well. Oba won. No one should be really surprised by that.
No, but it's the biggest thing coming out of this is, one, who's Oba choosing? Because we already know what the other match is. That happened immediately after.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a little bit.
We'll get to in a moment, but it was the question is, what happens with Jay now? Because he didn't win the King of the Ring. Roman now has the possibility of facing Oba Femi, which could be Jay's fault. And you have a right-hand man who only answers to one guy in the bloodline. So it'll be interesting to see if this furthers that tension between Jay and Jacob. So doubling back, we've got a kind of interesting situation with, as we touched on, Sami Zayn is your new undisputed WWE champion. Cody is out there. What do we think Cody's road to SummerSlam is now? How about you, Keith? What do you think?
Cody. What does Cody do? I mean, we did allude to the idea of Cody appealing to Sammy's, like, the last good guy thing and trying to get a rematch out of him. That is possible. There's a part of me that doesn't think Cody will go that route because he is trying so hard to be, like, the good guy. It is hard to say one way or the other. They could keep Gunther and Cody together. That could be, you know, the like, Cody is, what's the term? You know, he's the guy that seemingly can't beat him, so Gunther really wants to get that, like, off his back, so then he might challenge Cody for SummerSlam. That's always a possibility. Maybe Cody takes some time off, and we don't see him at SummerSlam.
That's one thing I was going to touch on is, if you've read some things from people online, and not just random people, I mean like people from the industry, they're saying that like maybe Cody does need some time off.
Yeah.
And especially maybe the fans need a little bit of time off from Cody. Because if you heard, and I mean, I understand Saudi Arabia, Sammy being of Syrian heritage is going to get a reaction from that crowd.
Yeah.
But if you heard the crowd when they showed the other two competitors, especially Cody Rhodes, you noticed it wasn't as joyful as most fans have reacted to him in the past.
No, of course not. Not in this city.
So this could be a good moment where it's like, hey, Cody, you've been quarterback one for a while. The only time you've taken time off in the past 2.5 years has been to go film a movie really quick.
Yeah.
How about you take a couple of months just for you? Rest up, get away from the fans, let them kind of miss you a bit, then we'll have you pop up in time for, like, WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where, Rock?
Saudi Arabia.
So, but also, the one thing I will say is, okay, so we got the belt on Sammy. He doesn't need to hold the belt for long.
He's not going to hold it for long.
No, this was done for the moment of him winning in Saudi Arabia. And as I said last week, the chance for him to be now officially stated
as a world champ slash former world champion.
Yes.
That does great things, because at the end, you can say he was a world champion. You can't say that about things like Mr. Perfect. You can't say, you know, Owen Hart. You can't say some of these things about these people who put in a lot of time in the Fed, and then, like, their career comes to an end, and they're like Dan Marino of, they never got that one big title at the very end. He now can say it. He has it.
He does.
If even only for a few weeks, he had it. And it's the same thing with Drew McIntyre. He won the belt for a little bit before WrestleMania. He got it. Cool. Done.
Yeah, you can't take it away from him. He's a world champion.
I mean, unless you reverse the referee's decision and took the belt off of him. That way, yeah, you can take it away from him.
I mean, you could, but...
With this, yeah. It was a definitive roll-up 1-2-3.
Yeah.
End of story.
And I like there was no shitting out that gets with it. It was a clean pin in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pin that is very emblematic of Sammy. Like, Cody's going for the crossroads. He does a roll-up. And not just a schoolboy, but, you know, an actual, like, victory roll style out of nowhere and gets the win. He used his experience, his knowledge, and the situation to be able to get the victory, which is very cool to see. Because if you want to keep him steering towards that good guy role, he didn't fully go heel here.
No.
You could have him face a heel if you want to and be the good guy. Or... if he wants to embrace, you know, if he gets goaded into putting the title up by being the good guy, you have that thing there, and that could push him over the edge, possibly.
Yeah, which is ultimately what's going to probably happen. Cody will probably play on the, if you're a real, really good guy, Sammy, you'd give me the rematch. And then he would hem and haw for a little bit, and then ultimately agree, next week we'll... on SmackDown, we'll fight in Chicago for the title. I would assume that's how that goes. And then you decide if you want to keep it on Sammy or not from there.
Yeah, you decide if it's going to be Oba Sammy at SummerSlam or if you go Oba Roman.
And seeing as he's making his decision tomorrow, pretty have a good idea where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
One's up in the air, y'all!
But then again, they're taping SmackDown in the same building, so Sammy could be on Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, it could be. You could get a moment where both of them, both him and Roman, are standing in the ring. Roman kind of goes, "Hey, you were in the Bloodline. Good job. Look where you are." And the two of them reminisce for a moment, and then you have the drum beats hit, and Oba walks out with the two of them,
yeah,
and eyes them both up to be like, "Who am I choosing?" Because I could see a moment there where it's Roman tries to talk Oba into Sammy a la Triple H with Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Oba just, you know, eyes up Sammy, looks at that, and then just turns to Roman and makes the choice. And you get that kind of face-to-face. Because they haven't been face-to-face yet. They talked to each other at WrestleMania and issued the challenge of, like, I could go after Roman, and Roman's basically like, all right, boy, you want to do it? You know where I am. Earn your way here. And then you get that first face-to-face moment where it's like, oh, shit, yeah, he's making that call.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. And then I guess the only other thing that happened, you are cursed.
After the men's King of the Ring... when he came out and you knew what the next match was, I got so happy because I knew where it was going. Danhausen walks out and starts to talk, and you hear that god-awful song come on the speakers, and it's just like, well, she's screwed now. Because Liv was never going to be put... she was never going to set herself up in the situation of, like, I'm getting out of this unscathed. She's cocky. She's going to go straight at Danhausen. And Danhausen is going to do the one thing he can. And honestly, they have set it up so well that, guess what? The curse means something.
She sold it.
In pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because one of the best things that could have happened to Danhausen was the New York Knicks.
Absolutely.
Never thought I would say that ever. But the fact that the Knicks went on the run after he did the curse is amazing because it puts it in the cultural zeitgeist. It puts it on ESPN, and your casual fan looks at this and goes, so wait, a wrestler cursed the Cavaliers, they get swept, and then the Knicks go on and win the finals 4-1, all because this painted-faced weirdo cursed people? And yet, in WWE, anytime he has cursed someone, it has had immediate and impactful results. Oh, when he's cursed The Miz, Miz has lost. When he cursed the referee, the ref couldn't make the count.
Props to Miz and
Kit Wilson
for selling it. Like, have you seen the videos? They're tremendous.
Yeah.
They're putting out gold. It's amazing. And then, like, even in the matches, you know, when he's fighting, he'll do the curse and it has an impactful result on the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got to the point where, like, yeah, if he's around and he starts to get into the curse part, if you're the person on the other end, you're kind of going like, wait, no, hang on, let me get out of this, let me do something. And Liv started to kind of do that. She was kind of like, wait, and she got cursed, and what's the first thing she does? Slap him. That is the nail in the coffin. That just put you down. And we saw in the match, ultimately, it did her in.
It did.
Not directly, but at least it can play out. Like, if you want to on Monday, you can have Danhausen backstage, and you can have Liv just pissed off.
Yeah.
Of like, I would have, you know, I can't believe that this happened. And also, you can turn this into further Judgment Day, because when it came to all of this, there's one really important question, especially when it comes to Liv Morgan. How has she won most of her matches recently?
With
interference.
Help.
Where were the Judgment Day?
Well, realistically, or...
I understand realistically. But the other question is, that's what she can ask, is like, hey, where were you? And Roxanne could be like, you didn't... Either, A, you didn't say you needed help, or B, like, I lost, and all you told me afterwards was like, well, it's okay, I have the title.
Mm-hmm.
Raquel lost. And what was the comfort in that?
It's okay, I have the title.
It's okay, we still have this. So now, the interesting thing is that you're going to have Liv Morgan holding that belt, and in the 4 weeks leading up, you've got Io Sky sitting there going, I just beat you.
Mm-hmm.
I proved I can take you down, and I get another chance with that thing on the line. And so now that's going to be the thing in Liv's head. And also, Io is smart in knowing, yeah, the other two are going to be there, but either you sow the seeds of discord between them, you know, like Lindsay brought up before, what has Liv really done for you guys, aside from screw you out of the Royal Rumble and not help you when you needed it? You two have each other's back. Where's Liv? And you start to set that up for SummerSlam of, like, are they going to be there for her? Mm-hmm. Will they be there when the chips are down? Or, you know, will they get involved as we all expect?
I think there will be a lot of interesting hiccups in interferences going for the next month.
Yeah, I think it'll all depend on how serious Liv takes the curse.
Well, and also, who knows, the curse may have been lifted after the match. It's like, it ran its course. You lost Queen of the Ring. That's all it needs.
Do we think this is where Rhea comes out to persuade Io to face her, or does that mean Rhea's relinquishing the title? I don't think it means either. I don't think it's not a swerve, and I don't think it means Rhea's giving up the belt. I think they're waiting out what's going on with Rhea, with her injury, and again, as good as the match with Io would be, it's you're trying to keep them apart, and you're trying to keep Io on Raw, so Io and Liv it is.
Oh, here's my question to you, Rock. You get Rhea some time to rest. Let's say she's able to go for SummerSlam. Who would you put with Rhea?
JC Jane. That's your match. It's a very simple match. If Rhea needs time off, you put the belt on JC Jane and go from there. She was, before Rhea got hurt, she was also feuding. They were also feuding with Rhea, Charlotte, and Alexa, if you remember.
They're kind of like just walking around going after almost anybody they want to.
and she's feuding with Paige and Brie. Technically, you've got a threesome in Fatal Attraction that's feuding with the women's champions. So you could easily go the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Fallon and Lexi?
I forget. Lainey? Lainey, maybe? I don't remember.
Oh, Lainey might be the old one.
No, that was Jasmine.
Oh,
Jasmine Nix was the old one.
But yeah, you could easily slide JC Jane in there, and it's an easy match if you want Rhea to have time off. Put the belt on JC, let her run with it for a couple months.
And JC Jane won't be coming out of nowhere. They've been building her up for months.
Yes. Right.
She lost to Paige. That's okay. That happens. And you do run it back. Paige and JC Jane, number one contenders match. Boom. There's your easy setup, and you get there. Because if you do Charlotte and Jade, JC and Rhea, Io and Liv, that's three big women's matches for SummerSlam right off the bat. You get Paige and Brie to defend the belts against somebody. You got Bayley and Lyra will probably hit SummerSlam. It's five women's matches right there. Pretty good.
Tiffany, with it being in her hometown, you never know.
Yeah, you'll get Tiffany on there.
Yeah, and they'll have time to start something there if they really need to.
Yeah.
Or want to.
But yeah, I think Tiffany defends against someone. You can probably have Chelsea wean her into the title match. You just figure out a way to get there. You got lots to do. But anyway, that was the recap, Brent. Housekeeping.
Oh, homework time?
Mm-hmm.
All right, homework. So we had 10 people participate in our pick'ems for Night of Champions. In 10th place, going 2-4, we had The Wheel.
Ah.
Not a great showing from The Wheel here.
Off night for The Wheel.
Tied in 7th place, going 3-3, so hitting that 500. We have Keishi, Tim, and Sarah.
Not bad.
Not bad. You didn't miss as much as you made. It was just, even keel. In 4th place, tied, we have the 8-Ball, Rob, and Subway, a.k.a. the inanimate objects. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. Tied in 2nd place, going 5-1. We have Team Rack, which is Rock and Lindsay.
And we each missed the different one.
Yep. Rock went with Cody Rhodes in the main event, and Lindsay went with Braun Breaker. And going a perfect 6-0, including two matches against the hosts on this network, or against the hosts on this show, being the only one to choose the right result, me. Because you both went Jey Uso, you both went Seth Rollins, and you both went Cody Rhodes. I'm sorry, you went Jey Uso, Braun Breaker, Cody Rhodes. I went Obafemi, Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn for the win.
And that will do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, around 9 p.m. Eastern, will be the Raw Post Show, because Raw airs at 6 p.m. Eastern, so check the time and availability in your area for when Raw starts for you. Thursday night, it's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, it's CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR, Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio, it's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use code GIRROCK to sign up for an item shop when you buy Supergirl, old Marvel Battle Pass skins, and more, because hashtag epic partner. At Tim's, at Flames Forums. Brent.
Find me on a variety of social media at KaneKittens or Kane.Kittens. That is X/... Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram. You can find me on those different platforms. You can also find me Saturday night on CB Radio during the Intern's Corner.
And Casey, where can they find you if they just want to find you?
If they want to find the socials that I have created over the years but no longer update on a regular basis, you can find me on the social medias at Kyle Driver.
Chat, we'll see you next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, streaming live right here on the Walt Talk Radio Network. Coming in like a champion.
BileTalkRadio.com.